ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me." The rest in Jesus. That's why they see a God who loves them, that was willing to die for them, to set them free from the bondage that they were in. That's the gospel we are willing to die for, because it is true. And what is the gospel? Well, Paul talked about it. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. There it is. That's what he delivered to the people, the good news. But here are these wolves coming in to devour the sheep with their false doctrine. And we as Christians need to rise up and stand up against these things. It's not time to say nothing. These wolves in sheep's clothing come into the church. They're allowed in to teach what? Perverse things. Think about that. The Greek word for that is to twist God's word, to twist God's truth for their own perverted ways, to get them to follow them or drag them away. That's just like Satan, isn't it? That's exactly what he does. Twist the word of God so he makes it say what he wants it to say, and to keep people out of heaven, make them ineffective in their walk with the Lord. Sometimes it's subtle, and there is a danger. People don't really catch it. For instance, the Bible Project, it's been on YouTube. Tim Mackey has a lot of sermons, but this is part of a video. These gods hate you and they're going to kill you or send plague on your flocks or something like that. And so what you need to do is kill this animal so that it can die instead of the gods killing you. And once the god has their pound of flesh, then they'll leave you alone and be happy with you. And what we do is read that story onto the story of what's happening here, and then we bring Jesus into it, and what we end up with is a story that says God's perfect, he's holy and he's perfect. You're not, so God has to kill you. He has to kill you. He needs his pound of flesh, too, in the name of his justice, and so he's going to kill you because he's angry at you. But instead, he's going to kill Jesus, and he takes out his anger on Jesus, and then he allows you, after you die, to go to the good place and not the bad place. You can sing forever the praises of God who didn't kill you. How are you guys doing? Now, some of you, I'm creating a character, but for some of us, you might think like, yeah, isn't that the story of Christianity? Isn't that what Christians believe? And he then says, if you read the character of God in the Old Testament, you'd be able to spot what I just said to you as a total distortion and perversion of God's character and of the good news and of the meaning of atonement. What Mackey's doing, and again, people don't see it, is he's providing a social atonement, not a penal one. He describes that word atonement as being more related to how we as people hurt the world and we're not nice to each other. Is that biblical atonement? No. He doesn't talk about the blood atonement. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. A lot of his ideas come from N.T. Wright's books, and he's wrong. They actually changed the meaning of Jesus' cross as pagan. This is what the pagans believed. And it's centered around an angry God demanding the blood sacrifice of innocent human victims. Is that our God? No, that's not our God. God loves us. Think about it. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, right? God could have said, done with you guys, I'm going to start all over, right? But how much did he love them? Before the foundations of the world were even created, he was the lamb who was going to be slain. He knew what he was going to have to do. That tells me of his love. He didn't make Adam and Eve sin. He gave Adam and Eve a choice. All the trees in the garden are for you to partake of. All the fruit that's in here is for you. Except that one tree over there. Stay away from that one tree. Which tree is that again? Right? One thing is all they had to stay away from, and they didn't, because they let Satan deceive them. The key again is, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And it's important, because a bloodless gospel is an empty, worthless gospel. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Continual cleansing of our sin. Yes, as Christians, our sin can hinder our relationship with God, but we are saved by the grace of God, not by our good works. In Colossians 1, verses 19 through 20, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by whether things on the earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. There it is. But again, what we see happening a lot today is a discrediting of the Word of God, the Bible. You know, there are people that believe, you know, only the red letters in the Bible are the words of Jesus. Everything else, well, we don't really need, because we only need to hear what Jesus said. All Scripture is given by inspiration of who? God. And it's profitable. We need to remember that. We need to remember that. You know I've mentioned him before, but Andy Stanley, son of Charles Stanley, has a huge church, huge following. And think about this. How do we know anything about Jesus apart from the Bible? How do we know? Experience? But our experiences could be off. What do we need? A plumb line. We need to be able to know what's straight. Otherwise, we're going to be off. It's going to be crooked. And again, we can trust it from Genesis to Revelation. This tweet was deleted, but it's from Andy Stanley. The Christian faith doesn't rise and fall on the accuracy of 66 ancient documents. It rises and falls on the identity of a single individual, Jesus of Nazareth. Isn't the totality of the Scriptures about Jesus? So the 66 books are very important to us. They're vital to us. Again, this is another tweet. When first reading the tweet on social media, I was saddened and sickened. This kind of statement was all too familiar to me, the writer of this article was saying. And his view of the Bible is like many today in the church. You know, we used to hear about the emergent church movement. And people thought that that would be the finality for the world, global religion. And I said, my feeling was, no, it's just another name. It'll continue on, and it may morph into other names and different things. But it's all liberal theology, liberal thinking about God and his word. And so you don't hear emerging church too much today, but those teachings continue on. You know, in 2016, this is what he said. If you don't go to a large church, you are so stinking selfish and don't care about your kids. Are you kidding me? Really? So big churches, I think churches are churches, you know, big or small. But again, this is what people are listening to. His view on being tolerant and homosexuality, he's for all that. And even, I'll share this with you, you know, he described a couple in his church who divorced when the wife discovered that her husband was in a sexual relationship with another man. But he didn't discipline the man. he allowed the homosexual couple to move to another campus of North Point, his church, and work together as a host team. Think about that. So who's to determine now what's right and wrong? How much sin do we allow into the church? You see, you've opened the floodgates now. Now you're going by your feelings. Oh, we can't allow that. Well, why not? You allowed this. What is your plumb line for what's right and wrong? And it's got to be the Word of God. He minimizes the virgin birth. And he added, maybe the thought is, regarding the virgin birth, they had to come up with some kind of myth about the birth of Jesus to give him, this is the writers of the Bible, to give him creed later on. We got to help Jesus out here. Make him sound really good. In his sermon, he minimized the importance of the reality of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. A lot of people don't believe it, and I understand that, he said. Wow. He also noted that only two of the four Gospels mention the virgin birth, and Christianity doesn't hinge on the truth or even the stories around the birth of Jesus. It really hinges on the resurrection of Jesus. Well, not just his resurrection, but his death as well. But his virgin birth, why? Because he had to be sinless. Do you see what they've done? And again, he's a really good speaker. He's much better than me, 1,000 times better. He's very articulate and he knows how to put his words together, you might say. But without the virgin birth, if Jesus was just born through Mary, then he was born in sin. And he couldn't die for our sins. Do you see where this is taking us? We're only interested in his resurrection. Well, apart from him being sinless and then going to the cross and shedding his blood for my sins, the resurrection is meaningless. It doesn't help me at all because I'm still a sinner. He also said that preaching through the Bible verse by verse isn't how you grow people. No one in the scripture modeled that. There's not one example of that. I don't know. I would go to Nehemiah. Nehemiah is a good book because they would read the Word of God. They would expound on what was happening during that day. And then they would put it into an application. How does that apply to my life? Oh, I think they were doing verse by verse. I think that was very powerful. But again, getting people to put the Bible down. And that's scary, guys. He feels that if the Bible is the foundation of our faith, it's all or nothing. Christianity becomes a fragile house of cards religion. Christianity becomes a fragile house of cards that comes tumbling down when we discover that perhaps the walls of Jericho didn't. What your students have discovered, and if you read broadly, you've discovered, it is next to impossible to defend the entire Bible. But if your Christianity hangs by the thread of proving that everything in the Bible is true, you may be able to hang on to it, but your kids and your grandkids and the next generation will not. There you go. You don't really have to believe these stories. You really can't prove them. Then how could I prove that Jesus is real and that he is Almighty God and died for my sins? Where do I draw that line? What is real and what isn't? If I do not believe in the beginning God created the heavens and earth, then everything else I might as well toss out. And when you look at this earth, you see that God had to put this together. It can't come together by random chance happenings. It's impossible. I tried this with my bank. I had zero in my banking account, and I came in the next day and expected millions to be in my bank account, and there was absolutely nothing. So what evolution's telling me is that you have absolutely nothing. It exploded, and now you have everything, all life, from nothing. And when you look at life, the complexity. So if you don't believe in the beginning God created the heavens and earth, can you believe God became flesh, dwelt among us, went to the cross of Calvary to die for our sins? No. God's word is truth. In fact, in Psalm 138:2, a verse I shared with you before, David said, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. That's an important statement. Because many today say, well, the Word of God, it's a little dry. We got to come up with new things to bring back revival. It's not enough, the Word of God, for our complex lives. That's a lie. David said that God places his Word above his name. All that he is, his character, the sum total of all that he is. And you can tell a person's character by how faithful they are to what? their word. And God's word is as good as he is. You know, the old saying is that a man is as good as his word. God is as good as his word, guys. Charles Stanley says we worship the Bible as God. No, I read the Bible because it reveals God to me. And you start to water God's word down or ignore it because you don't like it. What ends up happening is the church embraces the worldly culture around it. It was interesting, you know, when the letter was in the Herald Times Reporter about a church in town with several different pastors who signed it, stating that homosexuality is okay and that we love people, we're not judgmental. And once my blood pressure came down after reading that, thank you, Tony, for sending me that article. And I wrote them a letter. And basically all I said was, if you love someone, you're going to tell them the truth. You don't accept everything. You are judgmental about things. I guarantee it. Everything out there, you don't agree and say, oh, that's great, that's wonderful. So you're making a judgment on that. My judgment is not by my feelings. Because you know what? I can change my mind on all kinds of ideas. It's based upon God's word. And that's the key. You know, people I think are tossed to and fro within the church today because they don't know what they believe. Paul talked about that there are the apostles and prophets, the pastors and teachers, the evangelists, who God has given to the church. I think the apostles and prophets have passed off the scene. But these men are there to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. They're there to teach them. Then as they grow, they use the gifts that God has given to them to bring glory to God and to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3, Paul said, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, and once you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others." Paul's saying, look, apart from Christ, before you got saved, man, you were just meandering through life. You had no direction. It's kind of like my wife going yarn shopping. Oh my gosh. There is no direction. She is all alone. Look at this over here. I'm dying, okay? Just meandering. When I go shopping, and I don't go yarn shopping, but when I go shopping, boom, 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 done deal, I'm out of there. I don't like to meander through stores. I know I'm in so much trouble. But that's what we see today. People just meander. Whatever looks good. Oh, that sounds good over here. This sounds good over here. And it's not from the Word of God. In fact, the word desires implies they're seeking after things with great diligence. It's a willful act on their part. They're just going after these things. But now it's coming to the church because the church is not grounded in the Word of God. They're following the course of this world, whichever way the wind blows, right? The prince of the power of the air, Satan, is directing their lives. And what do? Lust after the flesh, fulfill the desires of the flesh, fulfill the desires of the mind, and they're children of wrath. And that's what the church has opened up its doors to. And they're being tossed to and fro. It's amazing what people believe in. You know, I've told you before, you know, Christian witches. I don't even get that one. Christian tarot cards. Come on, people. Stop it. The Pope said that there's no hell. Okay, Jesus spoke more about hell and judgment than anyone else in the Bible. Why? Because it's true that apart from him, that's where people will go. He's supposed to be Christ's representative on this earth. And let's face it, if we really think about it, we are too. We're ambassadors for Christ. And as an ambassador, you speak forth the words of God, not your own ideas, because you're an ambassador. An ambassador represents the president or whoever's in charge. When you go to another country, you're representing him. And that's what we're be about. We have to be careful because the church is becoming very liberal, and as it waters itself down, it's preparing to embrace this one-world religion. And you probably have seen pictures. We've talked about it on our prophecy update on New Year's Eve several times. But Protestant leaders that have gathered together with the Pope saying that they're one, that he is the Holy Father. These are Protestant leaders within the church who agree with Catholicism. When Catholicism, I came out of it, so I know what it's about, is a mixture of law and grace. Because they'll tell you you need Jesus, even though they don't like talking about Jesus a whole lot. But you also have to keep the sacraments. You have to go to confession, be baptized. You have to have your confirmation. You have to do this. You have to do that. And even after you die, you don't make it into heaven. You go to purgatory, which I don't know if they even believe in that anymore. But I know the number of candles that were lit in the church, Catholic church that I went to, for all the relatives that had died that needed to get out of purgatory. So you put some money in, light the candle, and you're getting them out of purgatory sooner. There is no purgatory. There's heaven and hell. There's Jesus, and there's rejection of him. And we have to be careful, because you start moving away a little by little from God's word, it's amazing how far you will go. In fact, Paul in Galatians said, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." Paul nails it. He's shocked that they've turned from the truth that he gave to them. And he didn't marvel about these false teachers that were teaching a false gospel. That's just what they do. He marveled that these people who had heard the truths of God were now being swayed by these false teachers. You know, he says, let them be accursed. Yeah. One writer put it like this. He said, "The most destructive dangers to the church have never been atheism, pagan religions, or cults that openly deny Scripture, but rather supposedly Christian movements that accept so much biblical truth that their unscriptural doctrines seem relatively insignificant and harmless. But a single drop of poison in a large container can make all the water lethal, and a single false idea that in any way undercuts God's grace poisons the whole system of belief." There's the danger. What I teach you, what other teachers are teaching, what books you, Christian books you read, line them up with the Word of God. I'm human, just like you. Can I make mistakes? I tell my wife, no, but she doesn't believe that. Like I made this morning already, right? I'm not infallible. God is. He's infallible. He doesn't make mistakes. Even Paul with the Bereans, he said that they checked out what he taught to see if it was accurate, if it was according to the Scriptures. That's what we need to do. We shouldn't be troubled by these things. We shouldn't be caught off guard by these things. Why? Because we have a truth tester. You know, imagine if we didn't. What would we do? Or what if only parts of the Bible were true? Which parts? How do I know what's true and what's not? You see, I know from Genesis to Revelation is truth, and I could trust it. And so what I hear, I can compare with God's word. It's as simple as that. And I know it's a battle out there, but keep in mind there will always be the pretenders of the faith. And how do we stand against this onslaught that's coming against us? Listen to what Jude said in verse 20. He said, "But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." The Amplified Bible says, "But you, beloved, build yourself up, founded on your most holy faith, make progress, rise like an edifice higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit." And the Living Bible, "But you, dear friends, must build up your lives ever more strongly upon the foundations of our holy faith, learning to pray in the power and strength of the Holy Spirit." There it is. It's real simple. What? Be in the Word of God. Believe what the Word of God is telling you and not what others are telling you if they go contrary to the Scriptures. Just apply it to your life. We need to live what we say we believe. And by the power of God's Spirit working in us, we can earnestly contend for the faith that's been entrusted to us. Let's pray. Father, again, it's a difficult subject, Lord. We don't like to deal with these things because they're hard. Seeing the conflict within the church, how the compromise is taking us away from the true gospel of Jesus Christ and giving us a false gospel, a false Jesus, and making people comfortable about their faith, which if it's not in Jesus and it's not in his shed blood, then they're not saved. Lord, help us to take a strong stance in love for what we believe in. As Jesus said when he was confronted with Satan, it is written. 3 times he said that. Every time Satan tried to confront him, he even quoted scripture. Well, Jesus said, it is written, and he corrected him. And we must do the same, Lord. Help us to stand strong in the days we're living in, to contend earnestly for the faith that's been entrusted to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.